Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Karen Borowski-Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn number 179 in Lutheran Worship.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Now we are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue with the confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Ken Shelbert. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Ken.
First reading is from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 through 7. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 112 as it is printed in your worship bulletin.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered the gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longing of the wicked will come to nothing.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and verses 15 and 16. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have known hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand if able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 1 and verses 7 through 14.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus," hymn number 381 in Lutheran Worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 13 1500 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from that 13th chapter of Hebrews. That's the second reading that Ken read for us a few moments ago, but I especially want to focus on verse number 8, which says to you and me today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as I thought about this text and what to talk to you about and what to talk to the folks at the Erie County Home about on Thursday, I couldn't help but to think of change. Now, change is something that we're all very much aware of. Change is one thing in life that we can be sure of. As you think about your own life, think for a moment about all the different ways that your life is constantly changing on a day-to-day, really. As a clock ticks on how we know change. Our relationships every day change as we interact with different people in different places, all kinds of different places. Our bodies, they change. Every once in a while, I'll pull out a picture of myself when I first met Jenny. I was lean. And I show the kids, and sometimes, who is that? Look at me today. Our bodies change, though, don't they? As age takes hold of us, as injuries are introduced to our bodies in different ways. Laura, you don't know anything about that. As illness plagues us, did you know that even cells in our body are constantly in a state of change? The skin is probably the most noticeable of cells that are constantly changed. As I understand, every 27 days, you shed and regrow your outer skin. What do you think about that? There is a bit of you laying somewhere. Now, whether that's 100% accurate, I don't know, but that's what I read, that's what I learned. Every 27 days, you shed and regrow your outer skin. When I saw that little fact, though, I kind of cringed on whether I should share it with you or not, because I didn't know if it was fascinating and miraculous, really, or if it was kind of disgusting and gross. As Larry just said, thank God we have showers. Change. Our families. Think about our families and how our family structure changes. As the kids grow. Zach just finished off his beginnings of college. It's a change in that family structure. How our family structure changes as our kids grow, as our kids move on and begin to experience the different things in life. As new members are introduced to our families through birth. Through marriage. But then there's that other side of it. How our family structure can change over the years as people begin to age. And as people transition to that most remarkable place that God has prepared for us. Our world. Our world, it spins and it spins and it spins. And as it spins, change comes with it. And sometimes that change is for the good. As we think about our world, where we are today, think about technology, think about medicine, surgical procedures. I just was talking yesterday to Derek Robinson from our church, and his mom had a aortic valve replacement or something like that. And within a matter of days, she's home. It's unbelievable to think what they can do with medicine and all the tests. People today communicate in ways that I suppose even just 20 years ago never imagined we would be able to communicate in the ways that we do. I remember running around with a beeper and having to find a cell phone to call when the phone number for my mother came up, followed by 911. You knew, call right away. There's no messing around. How change is happening all the time in our world. Sometimes it's for the good, and then other times as we think about that change, it's maybe not so much for the good. As different influences begin to impact different people in different ways, and when we think about the advances that we've made in technology and communication, the irony of it all is people are losing the sense of communication today. Change. It's the one thing we can be sure of. We see it. We experience it. We know it. Sometimes it's for the good, sometimes maybe not so much. But either way, it's sure to happen. And we have to face it as a reality, don't we? And I suppose that's the hard part of it. Now, sometimes that change comes into our lives, we embrace it openly. We welcome it because it's good. It's refreshing. It's beneficial. It's fun. But boy, then there are those times in our lives when that change comes and it hits us right in the gut. Knocks the wind right out of us. And how we want nothing at all to do with that kind of change. How, when those kinds of change come at us, the change that we would rather not experience, how we don't want to come to terms with it. How we don't want to face the impact that it's going to have on our lives, our relationships, our world, our future. And when we find ourselves in that kind of change, how easily we can find ourselves wishing to turn the clock back. How we'd like to have that normalcy, what once was. And as that change happens, change we would rather not experience, as it keeps on keeping on, how sometimes there's a certain heaviness that can come across our hearts and come across our minds. How in those moments we might even find ourselves questioning God, right? Why? Why now? Why us? Why this way? And maybe as we're questioning, we find ourselves searching, reaching out to things that we didn't reach out to before, dabbling in things, trying to find a solution, trying to find hope in the midst of it. But as we search and as we grab hold of those things, how an emptiness can even come across us even more. You know it just as well as I do. In those moments, what we need is hope. But not just any kind of hope. A sure and certain hope, a certainty amidst all of that change, a changeless truth. And you see, that's where our faith comes in, isn't it? That's where our Jesus comes in for you and me, and how he changes everything amidst the change. You know, I couldn't help but to think of what I think is the third verse in the hymn, Abide With Me. Let me read the verse for you. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Now I get it. It's a kind of melancholy verse, isn't it? And let's be honest with each other. Sometimes that's how life's circumstances and the change that we experience can have us feeling. But when you really get down to that verse, it's actually all about hope. It's a hope-filled verse. O thou who changest not, abide with me. You see, as change is all around us, we always have that constant of our faith in our Jesus. Our Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, it's this Jesus. It's this our Jesus who meets us in the so many changes that we experience in life with His Word and with His promises. It's this Jesus who can fill us with hope and confidence to face whatever's before us, to face those storms, knowing that He's our pilot, knowing that we will reach the shore with Him, the shore of newness, the shore of relief, right here, right now, and all the way into eternity. It's this, our Jesus, who is our rock-solid foundation. It's this Jesus who assures you and me of our security in this ever-changing world. You see, Jesus went the way of the cross and the grave for you and for me. He defeated sin and death and the devil for us. He conquered. And because He did, there's nothing too big for Him. There's nothing beyond His shepherding. And because He did, there is nothing at all that can ever separate us from His changeless love. His love. A genuine and deep love for you and for me. A love that has the power to see us through those changes maybe that we would much rather not endure. A love that never, ever, ever fails us. A love that's able to restore us and build us up. A love that carries us. A love that unites us. A love that binds us to Him and to one another. And that's a beautiful reality for you and me. As we face some of those changes that are heavy for us to handle on our own, the truth is we never have to walk it alone. We have our Jesus. We have one another. Let me close with this little story. There was this man. His name was Bill Irwin. Now, Bill was blind. And so he was dependent on a computer to help him through reading the Bible. It was an electronic kind of Bible that would read to him. Well, one thing that he noticed as he studied the Bible, there were certain words or certain phrases in the computer program where the pronunciation was just a little bit off. Holy Bible was pronounced Holy Bibble. Well, as Bill kind of played around with the computer program, he figured out a way to modify some of those words or phrases that sounded a little bit off. But in the program, there was one thing that Bill couldn't change. You see, the computer used the Spanish pronunciation of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and I may have said that wrong. Well, when he dug a little bit, he found out that the programmer, the developer of that Bible program, was Hispanic. And the one thing that this programmer made sure of was that Jesus Christ could never be changed. That's a good reminder for you and me. Among all the things in life, among all of the things that change in our lives, Jesus can't be changed. And Jesus won't change. It's his love, friends, for you and for me. That's a constant. A constant never changing. And so to face life's changes and even life's challenges, we can do no other but to look, even in those moments, to the unchanging Christ Jesus. O thou who changest not, abide with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by the Friends of St. John's to the glory of God. We, the people of St. John's, wish you all a wonderful and restful and peaceful and safe Labor Day weekend. Next week, Sunday, September 8th, we will move our contemporary worship back to the 11:15 time for the whole school year instead of meeting at 10:30 this last Sunday. Also next week will be the start of our Sunday school, which will start at 10 o'clock in the morning. May God bless you all with a wonderful week.
Stand.
Thank you.
Let's join together in speaking the offertory as it's printed before you. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please continue to say prayers for Millie Sietzma. Now, the good news is Millie has transferred out of the hospital and is now at Greenfield and is rehabbing there. So please continue to say prayers for Millie as she recovers. Also say prayers for the family as they're kind of helping mom and dad out in this time, in the season of some changes. Pray that God would give to them the strength that they need to continue to be faithful in their work as caregivers. Say a word of prayer for my mom's friend, Shelly Andres, who is battling cancer. Please keep her in your prayers that she might be filled with hope in her time of need. And last but not least, I'm just going to draw your attention to the families that we're praying for in the bulletin. Because to be honest with you, I found that these prayer petitions this week were too wordy. So I don't want to use them. I'm going to just pray with you. All right. So, but I do want to make sure that we include, as I pray with you this morning, those families that are before you in the bulletin. So we pray today for the Sutter, the Schaefer, the Sharp, the Shields, and the Sietsma families. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for this day that you've given to us once again, this Sabbath day, this day of rest for us, this day when the people of God, us, together come to receive your blessings, the blessings of your word and your promises, the blessing of the strength that you give to us in this most precious meal of your body and your blood. How we find hope, how we find certainty, how we find that strength and that confidence to persevere in life amidst the so many changes and the challenges that we find ourselves in. Lord, help us to be a people that always fix our eyes on our Savior Jesus, our rock-solid foundation, an unmovable foundation, really. When we ourselves feel as though we're crumbling, as we ourselves feel as though we're sinking, how he is the only one who can pick us up, the only one who can bring to us a peace that surpasses this world's peace. Lord, you know every single need that all of us carry in this place. You assure us that you hear our prayers and that you answer those prayers when we ask you. But you answer in a way that maybe isn't our way, but a way that's your way. And that way is the best way for us. Help us to raise those petitions to you confidently and trustingly, knowing that you're always working good for those who love you. Today, we especially pray for Millie. These days, these weeks for Millie have been tough, but we know that your presence never leaves her. Continue to bless her with the strength that she needs to recover. Bless her with patience. Bless the doctors, the nurses, all the rehabilitation specialists at Greenfield with an extra dose of wisdom and the ability to make Millie well. Be with John and the rest of the family. It's changes like these that can have our hearts anxious. Help their anxiety to fade away. Help them to know your presence all the more. Help them to know that they can cast their every fear, their every worry on you, because you love them. And it's that same prayer that we raise up on behalf of Shelley. The anxiety that must be in her heart is strong, for sure. Bless her with comfort, too. Be with all of those people that are going to be working with her to make her well. Lord, we pray for all of the families of our congregation. But today, we especially pray for the Sutter, the Schaefer, the Sharp, the Shields, and the Sietsma families. Help them in their ministry each and every day. It is, after all, that you call all of us to be your hands and your heart in this world. As the gospel reminds us this morning, you call us to be a people who follow the example of Jesus in his hospitality. Bless them, that they might be a hospitable people. Help them to embrace all with love and with the truth of the gospel, that their hearts and their minds might be transformed by the most remarkable message the world has ever known, a message of love in Christ Jesus, a message that carries us right here, right now, and all the way to eternity. All these things and so many other things we bring before you confidently, trusting in your mercy, trusting in your grace, trusting in your presence, which never leaves us. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Heavenly Father, with this bread and with this cup, we proclaim, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us. And believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord's true body and blood with a living faith as he comes to us in his supper. Amen. Now we pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is "It Is Well With Your Soul." Please join us now as we sing "It Is Well With Our Soul."
True body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now to life everlasting. Amidst all the many changes that we experience in life, may you find your hope, your peace, and your confidence in Christ Jesus, who never changes and whose love and promises are yours forever. Depart in his joy and in his peace.
Please join us now as we sing our second communion hymn, "The Church's One Foundation," hymn number 289 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjlcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Karen Borowski-Dowdle, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead. May God bless you all.
I invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. My dear friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you. At the start of the service, I was almost tempted to ask Lois, let's change the closing hymn this morning to Abide With Me, because I kind of referenced it. But then I saw that it was Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. And boy, if that isn't a fitting hymn as we think about change. So it fit very, very well. And I'm glad I didn't change it, because you sang it remarkably. That was just awesome. And I probably would have gotten in a little bit of trouble, because it's my grandpa's favorite hymn. So I could never, if I see that on the board, I could never, ever change it. Because I think if he found out, he would be mad at me. But anyway. So anyway, thanks for singing so beautifully this morning. That's a true expression of our faith. Whether our voices are not so good or not, it doesn't matter. God loves to hear those praises rise up to him. And as we sing so loud and so wonderfully in this place, that's an expression of our trust and our confidence in our God, whose presence continues and will always remain with us. On the announcement end of things, journals. The September journal is available for you. They're out on the tables in the fellowship area, so make sure you grab your journal before you go. Highlighting for this coming week, we're starting to move into our fall schedule now. It's hard to believe that fall is here. Just felt like summer started. It was so late this year. But here we are, and you feel it at night too, don't you? It's cool. It's cool at night for sure. But anyway, we're moving into fall programming now. And there is a confirmation meeting that will take place this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock for any parents and students that are in the 8th grade confirmation class. I ask you to make sure that you're here on Wednesday. The structure of confirmation is going to change a little bit this year. As I'm trying to figure out ways to best serve everyone in the confirmation program and the demands of schedules. So that's pretty much how I'm going to explain it. What that meeting is about is to explain how this is going to work out. Instead of meeting with me twice a month, the kids are going to meet with me once a month. They have a booklet that has got about 30 lessons in it that's their responsibility to complete before the year's end. I review that material with them once a month, and hopefully that will help alleviate some of the struggles that I've been experiencing as I've led those classes over the last number of years. It's unfortunate, but participation has been challenging at times because of the demands that are on these kids with their schedules. Sorry. If I sound a little bitter on it, I am. So, not going to lie. All right, so that's that. Sunday worship next week. Next week we change over. But our schedule changes back to the fall, winter schedule. So 4:30, 8:30, and 11:15. Okay, so just make note of that if you kind of jump between the services, we're going back to the regular schedule. Rally Day is September 15th. That's the kickoff of all the Sunday school and confirmation and adult Bible class. That's the kickoff Sunday, September 15th. So just make note of that. And the last thing I'm going to mention is the life screening event that's taking place on September 28th. That's open to any of you if you might be interested in that. Information about the life screening is on those pink flyers that are out in the fellowship area. All right. So if you're interested in having that, they basically, I guess, screen your body to see if you've got anything going on. I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but anyway, if that's something you might be interested in, grab one of those flyers. It is by appointment, so you have to call their 1-800 number. I think that's what it is, a 1-800 number. You have to call that number and then schedule an appointment with them. But it is going to be here on the 28th. Okay. Anything that I'm missing? Karen, yes.
I put a little article in the newsletter. It's about butterflies. And if you are able to go on Saturday out to East Bethany, it is a remarkable program. It's only an hour and a half. It is free. And butterflies are truly remarkable. They are pollinators. And they are absolutely glorious. And you will learn so much that you never knew about butterflies.
Thanks, Karen. Good? Everybody good? I did, Zach, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Zach's birthday. Sorry. So I guess we gotta sing to you. There you go. You ready? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zach. Happy birthday to you. That away. Thanks for letting me know. Good. Happy birthday to you. Blessings to you and lots more. 18. Look out. All right. Good stuff. A lot of good stuff happening for you. That away. Good. One last thing. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I'm working on trying to come up with a way to develop a worship assistant program. And it was just because of our shortage on acolytes and things like that. Again, the demands of schedules and those kinds of things have made it very, very difficult to keep a schedule for acolytes. And so my thought was that I would enroll adults. And the adults would be worship assistants for those particular Sundays, helping me out, obviously starting it off with lighting the candles, but then helping me out in different ways throughout the service, whether it's, you know, receiving and bringing the offering plates down, doing the prayer petitions for that particular Sunday, possibly lecturing if no one signed up for it. So I think the best way that I can go about this, because we would obviously want to have a little meeting or training session to kind of go over what it is that we're going to do. Anybody that might be interested in that, leave me, I'll put a sign-up sheet up for next week, but if you're here and you want to leave me a note that this might be something you would be interested in, leave me your name, and then I'll get you on that list, and then we'll start a rotation of some sort. I think it's important that we have just someone in place to make sure that those candles are lit. Every week. The elders have enough on their plate with trying to keep everything coordinated, so it would be nice if we just had some help there. So if that's something that you might be interested in, like I said, I'll put a sign-up sheet up for next week, but if you want to leave me your name this week because you're just so excited to be able to do this, leave your name for me. Okay, and then we'll start coordinating it. I'd like to have it up and running within the next couple of weeks. Okay? All right, that's it. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thank you. Hey, have a blessed week. Have a